Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Today, whenever the Scott Linehan news came down, the first person I heard from was my father. He texted me and was like, "All right, so who's going to be the next offensive coordinator?" And I tried to give him as many selections as possible. And I said, "We're going to try and focus on this." And his first thought was, "Hey, I hope Sean Payton ends up being the head coach of this
right.
team." And I was like, "See, Dad, that's why we're on the same page." Now, I've had the benefit of having a pretty good relationship with my dad. I always had a very healthy respect and fear of him at the same time as getting great love and lots of lessons from him throughout life. I almost lost him the day after I graduated high school. He had a heart attack and I raced him to the hospital. And since then, you know, lots of other things have happened, but I've always been able to rely on the fact that that's my dad, and that's the guy that I grew up knowing and loving and having in my life. But not everybody has the same kind of relationship with their parent that I've had. And I think all of our listeners have all had different types of relationships with their parents. And one thing I can say is that you learn a lot from your parents,
yeah,
whether they're there or not. And I think Kevin, we all admire his relationship with his son Brandon, and how Brandon looks at his dad, and how kick ass he thinks his dad is. And Kevin, you grew up, and 877-881-1053. If you've ever had an experience like this, you grew up not really having that type of relationship with your father. Could you mind explaining a little more about what that relationship was like?
Yeah. And I appreciate everyone who wants to listen. And if you don't, we'll get back to nonsense in the next segment, I promise. But we get so many texts, 877-881-1053, from people who are like, "You help me with this," or "I have this problem." And everyone, so many people who listen share their stories. And so I just wanted to, you know, kind of tell you guys what I've been doing the last week. And you know, for a while. So I had a crap relationship with my dad. He and my mom got divorced when I was 5, and he pretty much disappeared. Like, I would see him occasionally, like, at his mom's house, because I think he lived with his mom, because he burned a lot of bridges in his day. And in fact, whenever people ask me, like, "Why don't you drink?" Usually, it just depends on how well I know you, how much into specifics that I'll get. But I'll get really specific right here. I don't drink because my dad was an alcoholic. And among other things, it destroyed his life. And so I would see him, like, really infrequently. And then I think when I was 11 or 12... he was back for like the summer as our babysitter. And I remember that my mom had to hire him to be our babysitter for the summer. He didn't have a job. And it's just like, you know, on the one hand, you're really excited to see your dad. On the other hand, like, once I found out about that, and she didn't tell us that, like, I found out, that's kind of a slap in the face. Like, "Hey, I have to pay you to spend time with your kids." And it kind of felt like that was accurate, because otherwise I would see him very sporadically. And then after that summer, or a little bit after that, I don't think I saw him for 5 years. He showed up at our house one day right before I was about to leave for college. I swear I was going to leave for college within like the week. And he just showed up at our house. He wasn't at my high school graduation. He was invited, but he wasn't there. Why wasn't he there? I don't know. And so he wasn't there. And we just had a crappy relationship, because quite frankly, I thought he was a crappy dad. And that is one of the things that colored my relationship with my son, because I was like, I don't ever want to be like that. you know, because that I carry that with me to this day. My sister carries that probably even more than I do. Well, he did a lot of things to his body over the year. He was just a freaking chain smoker. He drank all the time. So he developed early onset dementia. And so he got this when he was, I think, like 65. And so he's been in a nursing home for the last 9 or 10 years. So I have had his power of attorney, both his financial and his medical power of attorney. Why? I'm not his oldest kid. He has two other kids besides me and my sister. I have a half brother and a half sister that I haven't seen. And I don't even know if you guys knew that. I haven't seen in, I don't know, 25 years. Because they want nothing to do with him. Because like I said, he burned bridges all across his life. And so they want nothing to do with him. So they're not the power of attorney. He said that my mom couldn't be the power of attorney because they were in the middle of a custody dispute. That happened like 25 years ago. And so it fell to me. And I told my sister this. I had a lot of bitter feelings about going through all that, because you have to deal with the people that he was staying all the time. You have to fill out forms for what kind of treatment he's going to get. You have to go up there to fill out forms. You have to do this. You have, like, it can be a time consuming process. And when I first started doing it, there was part of me that was like, screw that. Why? Why should I be there for you? You're sure as hell were never there for me. And I was like, why should I do this for you? And it took some time, but I was like, man, he's got nobody else. His oldest son doesn't want to see him. Oldest daughter doesn't want to see him. His first wife, no. His other family members, no. His sister, no. His nieces and nephews, no. If I don't do it, nobody's going to do it. And nobody's going to be there to help take care of him. And I would like to think, like, I'm far from a perfect person. I screw up all the time. And I would like to think that the people who are in my life that care about me or love me would cut me some slack when I couldn't take care of myself anymore. And he couldn't take care of himself anymore. And over the years, he developed Parkinson's. We found out he had lung cancer. And it just goes on and on. And every time I would go to visit him, you never knew. What kind of day was it going to be? It was either going to be one of two days. It was going to be the day where he doesn't know who I am. And I felt so bad because I took my sister up there one time and you could tell he had no idea who she was. Even when we explained it to him and we showed him a picture of us with him when we were kids, he couldn't place it. And she didn't particularly want to go back there a lot after that. And I was like, I get it. Like, your dad doesn't know who you are. And quite frankly, she didn't know who he was. And then the other day you would get was taking half the visit, explaining to him, because he's like, no, but you're little. And I'm like, I was little. I grew up. I have a son that is the age that you thought I was. And you factor all this in, and he had trouble talking, you know, and like he'd maybe get out half his thoughts and stuff, but we'd have conversations and I would still see little elements of that sarcasm. Like, I have no doubt that parts of the sarcastic nature of my personality comes directly from him. And you could see elements of that. And it was moments like that, that, like, it's kind of nice, but it also kind of pisses you off because you're like, man, we could have done this for years. You know, you could have been in the effing hospital when my son was born. You could have been at my high school graduation. You could have been at my college graduation. You were never barred from any of those things if you just gave a crap. But then you have to, like, take a breath. He doesn't really, like, he can't hurt me anymore. And that's one of the things I always tell my sister, because I know he inflicted a lot of mental pain on her. He can't hurt you anymore. Like, for lack of a better term, this might sound super insensitive, he's an old, enfeebled man who can do nothing to hurt you anymore. At least that's what I thought. Then about a month and a half ago, I get a call from his nursing home. And they were like, we had to take your dad to the hospital. Not really that big of a deal, especially with the mass in his lung. he has problems with pneumonia. He goes to the hospital a decent amount of time. Usually he goes to the hospital, he's there for 2 or 3 days, I visit if I can, and then he goes back home. So he went to the hospital, and then I get the call from the doctor at Medical City saying that he's being moved to the ER. And then they said, we're going to have somebody else contact you in a little bit. I was like, oh, can you tell me what that's about? And they're like, I'm sorry, I can't. And so then somebody else calls me in a couple hours and they start asking me these questions about his quality of life. And then they said that his fever was going up and he had an infection and the pneumonia was worse than usual and they had to put a ventilator in him because his lungs couldn't support themselves anymore. And it was just one of those things that I had just taken for granted, like he would just bounce right back. And, you know, he's 75 years old, so he's an older person, but, you know, he'd done this before. And so I need to come up there ASAP and I need to fill out some paperwork. And I need to talk to some people. They didn't say who those people were. One of them was a doctor. A couple of them were definitely not doctors, and they wanted to talk about a whole bunch of other stuff. And I wasn't ready to walk in that room. Like, I'd seen my dad deteriorate over the years, but he has bruises on his legs because he forgets that he has to stay in his wheelchair, and he has trouble walking. And so when he gets up, he falls down. He had the ventilator in him, and it's just, I guess I'd never seen it in person. It's so violent. Like, they said he's not in pain or anything, but it's so violent. And then they started talking to me about what happens next. And essentially, you could see the direction this was going. And I thought I was driving up there to say goodbye to my dad. Like, I thought he was going to die in that moment. But he didn't. He made it through. And right before Christmas, he got to go back home for a day and a half. And then he had to go back, and they said his lungs gave up again. And at that point, I knew he wasn't going to make it. And so they put him back on the ventilator, and then he stopped eating, and he wouldn't speak, and his swallow system started to shut down, and they had to put a feeding tube in him. And I was actually doing show prep one day when I got off the phone. And it just kind of all hit me that he was going to die and there's literally nothing I could do about it. And there's nothing they could do about it. And there's nothing anybody could do about it. And I just stared at my computer for like 15 minutes. I can't even recall what I was thinking or what I was feeling. It just kind of all hit me like a wave. And then the worst part is you have to go up there and he had to get transferred to a hospice facility. And I had to sign all this paperwork, and because I had to make all the decisions. And the decisions that were needed to be made were, we're going to need you to kill your dad. Like, that's not how they phrase it, but that's how it felt, you know? Like, because he's going to live. We can keep him alive with just the feeding tube and the ventilator if you want. But it seems like that's not the way to go. And in his paperwork, I have a copy of his living will. He said, if I'm not going to wake up, just let me go. So I knew this was the right thing to do, but I'm still signing a sheet of paper that says, essentially, yes, it's okay for you to let my dad die. And it's at that point that I realized they don't do a do not resuscitate anymore. It's now called an AND, an allow natural death. And it just felt like an extra little punch from the universe in that I was signing all these papers. I signed the paperwork for the allow natural death. And the lady who filled it out, she put the date as the 18th, like the year 2018. Well, you can't use that. You can't just cross it off. So we had to fill it out again. So I got to sign the paperwork again that said, yes, you can kill my dad. So he died overnight on Tuesday, and it was just so weird. Like, I almost broke down when I had to tell someone that my dad died. Like, I knew he died. I knew he was gonna die, but it was just saying out loud, my dad died, that again, it was just like that rush and that punch to the face. And Gavin, I had to tell somebody because I couldn't make it to a meeting because I had to do a there's a lot of stuff that apparently the business of death is really complicated that I wasn't aware of. And I had to tell him why I couldn't make it to a meeting. And he goes, then what are you doing here? And I said, I have to be here because all I do all day is deal with this. You know, like you have to talk to the hospital. You know, I had to talk to his nursing home. I had to talk to his hospice place. I had to talk to Restland. We had to reach out to relatives, those that might care, those that might not, just to let them know. And that's like all I did all day. And I was like, I can't. Well, first of all, I can't get anything done at night because like people aren't really doing stuff at night. But I have to do something else. And I don't want to just sit at home where I'm going to like linger about this and think like, what else can I do? Blah, 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 blah. And so I was like, I have to be up here. And so I'll admit, props to Corey Colby and Parker for really bailing me out this week. I have been ill-prepared more than once this week just because...
Yeah, you haven't done crap this week,
man. Yeah, no, that's for sure. I've been the Linehan of this show. And so, sports! And so, it's just me. I've been dealing with this all day, every day, and like... You get this thing from the Tolos all the time. I've heard this so many times. They're like, it probably doesn't matter to you, but I appreciate that you were there when I needed you. It does matter. And I'll tell you right now, I appreciate all the Tolos that are there for us and that are there for me, whether it's in this moment, whether it's at Fan Bowl, whether it's at any different time, any different day, Peace-a-thon, whatever. I appreciate it because I almost had a breakdown last night because when I was driving up to the show, my car had been idling funny for a couple of days and the check engine light came on. And I was just like, not now. Like, damn it. And my sister is 8 months pregnant. And I already told her, I was like, you need to make sure that you don't have this baby for a week or two. Cause I can't, not like in an adjutory sense, just kind of joking. Cause I was like, I can only handle like one thing at a time. And so I went out and I tried to buy a new car today while also talking with the people about what exactly is going to happen with him and a funeral and a burial and all that different stuff. Because I was just like, I just have to get this done because I can't handle like, can I even get my son to school and everything? And at the end of the day, on Tuesday night, when I knew my dad was going to die, because I got a call, and that was one of the reasons I ran out during a segment that we had, in case you guys noticed on Monday, I got a call from the people at the hospice place, T. Boone Pickens, and they said, your dad has essentially what they called like the death flu, which is easy enough for me to understand what that means. They said he's got 24 to 48 hours. And so on Tuesday, I long since scheduled a day off to go take my son to the Stars game. And it was oddly comforting because like the fact that I didn't like the way my dad was with me totally influenced the way I parented. And I was like, and I'm spending time with my son, extra time with my son. And I told him a whole bunch of my positive memories about my dad on the way up there. Like we talked about all kinds of positive stuff because they never even met.
Right.
And he was listening. He was great. And we even talked about how like I worked with my dad for a summer selling Ross Perot campaign stuff, which sounds ridiculous, but like if you remember what a phenomenon that was in the summer of 92.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like one of the best memories I have of my dad. And quite frankly, I'm not gonna lie, I think that's one of the reasons I got into sports radio or radio in general because of Paul Harvey. Because every day we were listening, right around 12:20 or whatever it was, it'd be like, Paul Harvey, stand by for news. And I was like, man, this guy's awesome. And so, like, I like to think that is for all the things that I wish I would have gotten from my dad that I didn't, that my sister didn't, that my mom didn't, that his other kids didn't get, maybe that was the genesis of what I do now, right there. And if not, it's a summer that I will always look fondly back on. So I appreciate you guys listening. And if you ever feel like y'all are just listeners and you're not important, ask the guys in this room how much of this story that they've heard, because it isn't the whole thing. This is the forum,
right?
That for the first time I've told everybody the whole story, because when we say Tolo and family, you might think cliche, whatever, but it's not. Like, we might mean a lot to you guys, and you guys mean a lot to us, and I appreciate nothing else, you listening to me have my little 20-minute therapy session that has no doubt sent the clock.
No, don't worry about that, man. There are a lot of people out there texting in right now how much they appreciate you and how they're here for you and how much you mean to their lives. Because, you know, we take that for granted sometimes, that we have a responsibility to a lot of people that are struggling with things, just need that moment of whatever, or maybe need to hear what's really going on in our worlds. And you shared that, and it means a lot to them.
And not to get too after school special or whatever, but I guess the last thing I would say is, if you have somebody in your life with a fractured relationship like that, and you have thought about maybe wanting to try to make amends, I would say give it a shot. For me, I don't know if he could hear me or not, but I got to sit next to my dad when he was sedated because I didn't want him to take out his tubes many a time over the last couple of weeks, and we got to have many conversations. I hope he could hear me, but even if he couldn't, it was a conversation that needed to take place. I got to tell him everything I wanted to, and I got to tell him plenty of positive things too. So if there's somebody in your life like that and you've been on the fence, I mean, you never know when you're going to get that call and they're going to say, you have 24 to 48 hours and there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Kevin, real quick, right before my grandfather passed away, Adrian walked into the room and he said, who's this pretty little lady? And he didn't know. He had no clue who she was.
Yeah.
And a few minutes later, he knocked his Jell-O over, and she bent over to pick it up, and he looked at me and winked and was like, yeah. And I was like, Grandpa, come on! What are we doing right now?
He looked at her butt.
But then you also look back and
I did. Like, I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, I know why he's looking, so.
I get it.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.